And peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the name of my sermon is An Amazing Journey, and that's what it is when you accept Christ. It's an amazing journey, all right? So let's take a closer look at the lesson. One day as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word. Bob Utley says, "Sometimes we modern believers think the word of God is only the Bible. But in reality, the phrase has a much wider meaning. It refers to all that God has communicated to us. Some of it is recorded in the Bible. Thank God for the words we do have. We must act on them and not worry about what we do not have. We have all we need for salvation and the Christian life. We must resist our curiosity and speculations." And there certainly is a lot of speculation in our culture, isn't there? The Word of God comes to us in many forms, though. That's the point. It comes in Bible. It comes in sermons, Bible studies, hymns. How many times have you heard the Word of God through a hymn and you find yourself tearing up, okay? Or maybe even in conversations, and I'm going to touch on that a little bit. But how do we discern what is true? How do we discern what is God's Word? The Bible, okay? We can discern the Word of God by Scripture. And the Holy Spirit will never contradict Scripture. So if we have some ideas and it's contrary to Scripture, we're in dangerous territory, okay? Because God does not contradict Himself, all right? We have the written Word of God. Verse 2, "He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat." Now, fishing was normally done on the Sea of Galilee at night, and apparently these men had been fishing all night and simply were washing and repairing their nets for the next night. So they're pretty tired. The crowd was so large that Jesus needed to get space to address them, so he entered Peter's boat a little way from shore. This way, his voice could carry over the water. It was kind of like a natural microphone. He also sat, and some people say because that's how teachers taught, but I think it's just, how would you like to try to preach in a boat? I mean, standing up, it wouldn't work. So I think he just wanted to be stable. But after a long night of fishing, do you think Peter wanted to move his boat? No. Does God have us do things we'd rather not do? Do I hear an amen? All right. I love this picture. It's kind of dark, but you can see these guys are cleaning their nets, and they're probably thinking, "Oh, great! You know, now we got to put the teacher on the boat, and then later he's going to be asking them to go out and fish." What's that?
Time to clock back in.
Time to clock back in. And Pastor Jesus says that a lot, right? Yeah. This reminds me of Pastor Robin in the jails, okay? And that's back when Sheriff Joe was there. They had stripes and pink underwear, and they used to have to put on leg irons to go to worship, okay? And then they'd take them off, and then when they took them back to the cell, they'd have to put leg irons back on all these people, okay? So it was quite a process. But anyway, she did not want to go. And I encouraged her for months, you know, to go to the jail. So finally she said, okay, all right. Once she went, there was no turning back. She loved it so much that I couldn't keep her out of jail, okay? And what happened is it's not all nasty like this. What we discover, and we don't have a lot of it, but when an inmate gets it, and there's many of you here who were there who know, when they get it, the blessing we receive from seeing you is off the charts. It does our hearts really well. Back. Yes, dear. Okay.
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me? Can you hear me now? All right. Cindy, you're missing out on your job, okay? You're supposed to go like this when you can't hear, all right? All right. You can hear now. Okay. And here's one of the blessings, okay? Go to the next one. That's our poster child, one of our poster children, okay?
Amen.
And there's, we could do that with a lot of people here, and not necessarily just with jails, maybe out of recovery, maybe coming off a bad divorce or whatever. But those are the blessings, okay? Those are the blessings that we have. When we obey Jesus, there's a blessing. Verse 4, when we had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down my nets. All right? Now, he's a professional fisherman. It's the wrong time of day, the wrong place, the wrong depth to catch fish, and he's tired. Yet Peter obeyed. Doesn't Jesus do the same to us today? Stephen Aram says, is there anybody here who can identify with Peter? You've been doing your best for God. You've been disappointed with the results. And you think you can hear Jesus saying to you, keep trying. Go back out again. Where is Jesus calling us to cast our nets? Where is he calling us to try one more time? Where is he calling us to reach out? Will we listen? Will we obey? Will we see God's miracles in our lives? When Pastor Robin and I arrived here 20 years ago at Amazing Grace, we started a Spanish service, and our Spanish skills were pretty much non-existent at that time. So the Lord said, go to Mexico on a language immersion. So we went to Cuernavaca at our own expense, because at that time the denomination didn't want white people speaking in Spanish and doing Spanish services, okay? Well, we ended up in Cuernavaca for 3 weeks living with a Mexican family. Jesus said, go, and we went. Yeah, that's me, man, a long time ago, okay? And that's my beautiful wife, Robin. She hasn't changed at all, okay? And this is Candido. He was an insurance salesman, and this is his wife, Tanya. And she made all of her food from scratch, and she made her salsas by scratch. And her salsas were dynamite, but they were wonderful hosts. And this was the school. It was a beautiful setting. Only problem is they had mosquitoes like vampire bats, okay? Next one. This is, too bad the picture didn't show, but this is Maria. And she's an adult, actually, okay? But she's a Mexican Indian. They call them indigenous, okay? And they're kind of like second-class citizens in Mexico, all right? But she was a wonderful woman, and she made us breakfast every day, okay? You can enjoy those pictures. And yeah, Pastor Rick is much younger then, okay? Oh, here's the... Do you guys know what a tahoni is? This is a tahoni, okay? It's kind of like a raccoon kind of animal. And here we are feeding them, all right? And this is in Topatzlan. Topatzlan, right? And we had to climb up this giant mountain, and then we were feeding these tahonis. And Robin can share a story about me and tahonis. I'm not really big into tahonis, okay? One attacked me. But anyway, Robin can tell you that story. Spurgeon says, the word of Christ is our supreme rule. At thy word, every servant of Christ is bound to know what he is to do, and then when he knows it, he should at once do it. The Christian man's business is first to learn Christ's will, and secondly, to do it. Once learned, that will be the supreme law of the Christian, whatever may seem to oppose it. And you could end up in Mexico. Amen? Verse 6, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Utley says, still one wonders whether this is not a slap at human effort, energy, merit, and knowledge. These professional fishermen tried their best with no results, but Jesus' word was overwhelmingly productive. Isn't it amazing when we follow Jesus' commands, how things simply fall into place? Has that happened in your life? I've seen it time and time again, okay? And that's what we preach in the jail. Accept Jesus Christ, And you're going to be blessed. Things will just fall into place. We don't say you're going to get rich, although you will get rich spiritually and in other ways, but you're not going to be a millionaire, okay? But you will be blessed, and things just fall into place, okay? We got a picture. There's the catch of fish, and I'm going to talk about these guys being amazed, but I want to talk about our poster child, Bill, again, okay? And this is Bill and Jennifer on their wedding day. Now, Bill, he looks pretty clean and pretty nice here, huh? Okay? All right? Well, his story is he was content living under a Palo Verde tree in the desert that was close to two Circle K's so he could drink his 30 beers a day, okay? And yeah, I said 30, okay? We met him in Mosaic. And I told you just what I've told everybody here. If you accept Christ, things will get better, all right? Well, what happened is he was riding a bicycle from downtown Phoenix to come to worship here, okay? And then his halfway house closed, and he had nowhere to go, but Earl took him in. Earl lives right up the street. At that time, Earl had about 20 people living with him, and one of them was Jennifer. She was homeless, and Earl took her in, okay? So he brought Bill and Jennifer together, and eventually they were married, all right? It's not the end of the story, okay? Next one. So Bill and Jennifer, they have two cars now, all right? And they own them, all right? And this is their home. They have a home, okay? And he's only been out of jail 2 years. Do you see how things fall into place? Amen. Praise be to Jesus. Amen. Praise be to Jesus Christ. And haven't we seen that in our lives? Haven't we seen that in our lives? We give our lives to Christ, and then things just kind of fall into place. And that's what we tell people going into the house of grace, the halfway house. Stay connected to Jesus, and things just fall into place. It's His grace. It's all by His grace. And also, that's not the end of the story. Bill is working as a cook at Denny's right now, but he's getting a new job that's going to be like a normal job. So praise be to God. Amen. Like Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 or something, you know? So it's amazing grace. It's amazing grace. It's truly amazing grace. Amen. He'll probably have a boat, okay? He's already got an RV, but I don't want to talk about that, okay? When we follow Jesus, things just fall into place, okay? When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Utley says, "The closer we get to God, the more we recognize our own sinfulness. This is also the reassurance that God loves and works with sinful, fallen, marred people. Example, Moses, David, the apostles. Fallen mankind's only hope is the gracious character of God and the self-giving work of Christ." And I love this next picture. There's Peter. These guys are thrilled with all the fish. And all he can do is bow down to Jesus. Have you ever felt like Peter? That we're simply too sinful for Christ? Usually it happens when people are in recovery or relapse. Very harsh guilt feelings. But aren't we all in recovery from sin? Don't we all relapse into bad behaviors and attitudes? So why does it happen, and what can we do about it? Spurgeon says, "Why does the Holy Spirit withdraw the sense of His presence? Why? But because we ask Him to go. Our sins ask Him to go. Our unread Bibles do. As it were, with loud voices, ask Him to be gone. We treat that sacred guest as if we were weary of Him. And He takes the hint and hides His face, and then we sorrow and begin to seek Him again. Peter does not do so, but we do. Alas, how often ought we to say, 'Oh, Holy Spirit, forgive us that we so irritate You, that we resist Your admonitions, quench Your promptings, and so grieve You. Return unto us and abide with us evermore. First thing to go, we tell inmates, is worship attendance. Then Bible reading. And how many minutes a day are we supposed to read the Bible?
15 minutes a day to start with.
To start with, right. Prayer. Then we stop praying. How many days in prayer? Minutes in prayer? 15 to start, right? And then worship, because this is where we have our community. And man, do we ever need community, right?
Amen.
And I got a picture of Mary Magdalene now. I love this picture. It's just a beautiful piece of art, okay? But as we were going through Robin's Chosen class, what happened is Mary Magdalene relapsed. And we don't see that in the gospel, but she relapsed. And she went back into the town and was gambling and drinking and prostituting again. And the scene is Matthew and Peter are looking for her in the town because Jesus sent those two out to look for her. And they come upon her and she's weeping and she's drunk, okay? And the one who goes to her is not Peter, but the tax collector, Matthew, who wasn't being accepted by Peter, all right? He's the one who goes and talks to her. But this is the importance of community. These two go to her. And they have to convince her to go back to Jesus. And she doesn't want to go back to Jesus because she's so ashamed, all right? And it's so relevant, especially in our church with so many people in recovery and relapsing and how we all relapse into sin, but she didn't want to go because she didn't feel worthy. But eventually she does. And what does Jesus do? He embraces her. He embraces her, okay? He embraces her. And she said she felt so bad because she let him down. And he said something to the effect, did you really expect that you were going to be perfect? Did you really expect you were going to be perfect? No, we're all sinners, right? We're all sinners. Verse 9. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Now they, Matthew Henry says, Peter, Andrew, John, and James, were the most affected with it because they understood it better than the others did, that they were well acquainted with the sea, and it is probable had plied upon it many years, had never seen such a draught of fishes fetched out of it, nor anything like it, anything near it. And therefore they could not be tempted to diminish it, as others might, by suggesting that it was accidental at this time, and what might as well have happened at any time. And there's the draught of fish, but these are professional fishermen, okay? And they're amazed. Once again, the history of Luke is right on, okay? The fact that professional fishermen are witnesses to this proves it was a miracle. It's not a myth like some arrogant theologians like to say. It really happened, all right? And you're going to see that time and time in the Gospels. It's connected to history. It isn't a myth or a parable, but a historical event. Have we encountered a miracle? Maybe the simple fact that you're here today is a miracle. I'm going to give an example, and I'm going to embarrass her probably because I didn't talk to her. Hi, Lisa. Lisa was looking for a job, and she was desperate for a job. So she got a job offer, and she wasn't thrilled with it, but she had problems because she thought she wouldn't get a job because of her age and stuff, and so finally she got this job, and she wasn't thrilled, but she was going to do it because she really needed to get a job. And the next day she got a job that was perfect for her. And she announced it in Bible study. She said, God is so good.
Everything.
Yeah. It's amazing how things fall into place, right?
Yeah.
You know, all right? We continue then. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people. Eudley says the Greek phrase implies catching them alive. This may be an allusion to Jeremiah 16:16 about Yahweh sending fishermen and hunters into the world to find and restore his people. It is possible that the early church symbol of a fish for Christianity is related to, one, the acrostic, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. You've all seen the fish, right? Why do we have the fish? In Greek, it's ichthus. The I stands for Jesus. The chi is Christos, or Christ. Theo is God. Uios is Son. And Soter is Savior. So it's Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. All right? And what Christians would do in the early church, because they were being persecuted, if you wanted to know someone was a Christian, they would draw a fish on the ground. And then you would know that that was a Christian. So that's why we have the Christian symbol, okay? The other part is catching fish used as an evangelistic imagery. And you've always heard pastors say, go fishing, right? Bring in people, right? But can you imagine the shock of Peter? He doesn't feel worthy to be with Jesus. He's a simple fisherman, and Jesus says he will be catching people for God. He'd have to say, let me get my hearing aids. I don't think I heard you right, okay? He is not a teacher. He's not a Pharisee, a Sadducee, or a prophet. He's a fisherman. Have you ever felt unqualified for something God has called you to do? All the time, right? Well, you got hope, okay? This is at Pastor Robert's ordination, and we just wear these on special occasions. It's not a Klan rally, okay? Anyway, three pastors here are introverts, okay? And two pastors here are drunks. And one pastor here is a grandma, all right? You ask any of us, did we plan on being pastors? And the answer is no. And maybe an expletive before the no, all right? But we have to trust Jesus and his call. Jesus doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. He equips the called. And I'm going to talk about the gym. As you know, I go to, you can't tell, but I do go to the gym. But the reason I say this is we can witness anywhere. And also, I was reflecting with Pastor Robert and my beautiful wife, Pastor Robin. I was an extreme introvert, believe it or not. And even to this day, I am, okay? But now when I go to the gym, I'm an extrovert. So if you feel like you're a shy person or something, God is not going to leave you like that, okay? He's going to have you looking out to other people rather than just focusing on yourself. And it's not bad to be an introvert, okay? Extroverts kind of drive me crazy, to be quite honest, okay? But amen. Amen. Especially one extrovert. But when you have the Holy Spirit, you'll just reach out to people. And if I see somebody in the gym who's depressed, I'll ask him, are you okay? You know? Well, anyway, I was wearing the shirt that James has here, Jesus is Essential, at the gym this past Monday. And I'm just figuring I'm going to go to the gym and do my business. Well, a guy comes up to me. He's going through a divorce, and he's going to court that day. So he shares it with me, and I say I'll pray with him. He didn't have time there, so he left. Another guy comes up to me, who I know. His brother was killed in a bar shooting. It was blind lead. His brother wasn't involved in the fight. And so I prayed for him. I grabbed his hand, and I prayed for him in the gym. Then another guy comes up to me, and he looks like a bad man, okay? He's really big, and he's all tatted up, kind of like James Kolowski, all right? But anyway, he comes up to me, and he says, can I take my picture with you? You look like my dad. I say, sure. And so I'm getting up from the bench so he can take a picture with me, and he said, by the way, my dad was abusive. And when I first came here, I looked and saw you, and I wanted to run across the gym and beat the heck out of you, okay? And I said, oh, wonderful, okay. But I said, well, your dad must have been really good looking then. But anyway, so what happened is the guy took the picture, and he shared to me that his dad was abusive and stuff. But then later on, he came up to me, and he said, I want to thank you, Rick. I got healing. All I did was get my picture taken with him, right? Do you see how we can affect people? All right? If we go fishing, if we look and we're concerned with people, all right? And I want to say, it's not me, all right? I'm just a dummy going to the gym, all right? Verse 11, so they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything and followed him. Stephen Aram says, in our text today, we meet some young men who are looking for a challenge, who are looking for more in their lives. Is there anybody here who is tired of the same old, same old? Is there anybody here hungry for more of God? Is anybody here hungry to see God move more in our church, to see lives changed? Are we hungry to see God move? Are we hungry to see lives changed? And to be quite honest, to see lives changed, that's why your four pastors are pastors. That's why we do what we do, is to see lives changed. Then we know God is real, all right? And we know who we follow is true, Jesus Christ, okay? So please contact the pastors if you want to be more active in the mission of Christ. Stephen Aram goes on to say, but when these four young men took off to follow Jesus, he led them on the most incredible adventure. Life became exciting. Their faith was stretched and stretched and stretched. Jesus molded them to be more capable than they had ever dreamed they could be. When they followed Jesus, they discovered that their lives really made a difference. They saw God do miracles. They saw people whose lives were a mess just turned around and filled with God's love and hope and peace. Some of them lived long enough to see thousands of people take the step of following Jesus and little churches popping up all around them. And I can imagine them years later talking about it. Wasn't it crazy to just drop everything and follow Jesus? I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I did. Was it always easy for the apostles? No. Will it always be easy for us? No. My wife got me a t-shirt recently, and it says, if you think Christianity is boring, then you're not doing it right, all right? And there's a lot of truth in that, because we talk about the ever-changing adventure, and that's what it is, all right? But in regards to the apostles, there's a picture here of all 12 apostles and what happened to them. We'll start up here with Peter, okay? Once again, it's kind of dark. Peter martyred in Rome about 66 AD during the persecution under Emperor Nero. Peter was crucified upside down at his request since he did not feel he was worthy to die in the same manner as his Lord. Andrew is here. He's on an X-shaped cross, and that's called a cross of St. Andrew, an X-shaped cross. Andrew went to the land of the man-eaters in what is now Russia. Christians there claim him as the first to bring the gospel to their land. He also preached in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, and Greece, where he's said to have been crucified. James is right there, getting killed with a sword, okay? And the king is watching, King Herod, okay? James was the first of Jesus' apostles to die following him, and he's one of the only two apostles whose death is recorded in the Bible. He was executed with a sword. We read about this in Acts chapter 12. Finally, John. And John, this is not a hot tub or a spa. This is boiling oil, okay? He's the only one of the apostles generally thought to have died a natural death from old age. He was the leader of the church in Ephesus area and is said to have taken care of Mary, the mother of Jesus, in his home. During Domitian's persecution in the middle 90s, he was exiled to the island of Patmos. There he is credited with writing the book of Revelation. An early Latin translation has him escaping unhurt after being cast into boiling oil at Rome. So, to close, life without Jesus Christ is like two things: a journey without a destination and a pencil which has no point. Maybe today our lives seem to have no purpose or point. Maybe we're on life's journey with no destination. Maybe we think Christianity is boring. Today, repent of your sins and accept Jesus Christ today and ask Him to live inside of you. And then enjoy the ever-changing adventure of Jesus. It is truly an amazing adventure. Now, Pastor Robin and I have been on this adventure for 37 years. And I'll just say our minds are blown. Pastor, you want to say anything? Add it? No? Okay, alrighty. If you have any questions about our journey, just ask her, okay? But we're going to pray. Pray that our life has a destination and that we have a point, okay? And we're going to pray this together. And I'll start us, and we'll just pray together, all right? Lord Jesus, today I repent of my sins, and I ask you to forgive me and come and live inside of me. I want a purpose and a meaning for my life that only you can give. Take me with you on this amazing journey and use me as you will. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.